The Flap is an unrivaled talk show featuring in-depth conversations on technology, life, love, comics, and fatherhood, hosted by founding members of Paper Keg, Dale _A, and Slim.
Together again after 2 months time officially.
Far too long for us to be apart, I think.
So what have we been doing over the course of 2 months? Your vasectomy has still happened officially.
Yeah, it's still, you know, it's still happening too in my personal life. I still have tests and things.
Really?
Yeah, well, I mean, we really haven't paid attention to the flap because we relaunched our comic book podcast, Paper Keg.
A hit show.
And yeah, that went live November 26th. And we've been pretty on top of that since then. Weekly shows. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty proud of what we've been up to since then.
You know, we got a letter. We had a lot of feedback about your vasectomy episodes.
You know what? I'm happy that people are still listening and enjoying, and frankly, getting something out of it as more than just comedy.
I think you're the local doctor to a lot of people that listen to that show, and rightly so, I think.
I'd like to think you could believe me just a little bit more than what you read on message boards on the internet.
So we got a letter from J-Man, at J-Man says on the Twitter. He chimes in, and he has a few questions.
Okay.
So we'll get into some vasectomy chat right now. First question.
Shoot.
Post-op, when you does any fluid come out at all, or is it a dry well? Good question, J-Man.
That is a good question. A lot of people don't know. It is not a dry well. There is, basically, if you picture two different ducts of liquid producing something or others. Yeah. One just produces the slip and slide, and the other one produces the actual sperm, if I can be so bold.
Right.
And the sperm kind of gets injected into the semen. Medical
talk.
You're
doing a lot of hand motions right now. It's kind of freaking me out.
Medical talk here. so what they do is the semen, the sperm duct, they basically sever that duct, like if you could picture a drawbridge opening up. And they fold it all the way back on itself. Like, so they pull it all the way apart as far as they can get. So your semen producing body parts are still there, and they still produce. Yes, so you do shoot.
Do they technically call that the genital drawbridge? Is that like on a pamphlet inside the office?
Yeah. I mean, and then, you know, it's easy for the doctor to just do it with his arms, like,
right,
like,
yeah,
picturing a drawbridge. Yeah.
Yeah, I see it now. All right, that was a good answer, I think.
So you do shoot. I have not noticed any inconsistencies thus far as amount.
Mm-hmm. It seems all normal for you.
Yeah. No, the same verve and vivor as ever before.
You know, this. I think they should really distribute this podcast to doctors' offices around the world because people need to know these things.
Yeah, like with a USB stick, right, with the pamphlet.
When you had to prep the area, did you have to shave the whole area, just the bees, or just the back of the bees?
I did have to prep the area. I went all in like Michael Phelps. I just shaved everything, like, you know. But turns out I didn't have to. Basically, it's the upper portion, like to the left and the right of your shaft, is what you would mainly have to shave. That's where they're drilling in, to the left and the right of the base of your rod.
The rod stem.
Yeah, that's where they're going to get in the most, but I think they recommend you shave the whole thing. It's the first time I used a Gillette Fusion on my piece.
It's a good brand. They've usually got a good thing going there.
Yeah, usually it's just like a man groomer trim, but I went, and it was a pain in the, it was a pain. It was a pain afterwards during the regrowth period, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You learn something new every day. What is the sensation like when you, post-snip? I keep thinking of when you shut your nose and mouth when you sneeze and your lungs and throat blowfish. Please say it's not like that, J-Man emails in.
J-Man, thank you for that. It is not like that. I haven't noticed any change in pain or anything.
Mm-hmm. Just regular love making.
Just regular, pain. You know, climax. It's a natural. Okay. It feels good.
Yeah, okay. Let's see. J-Man, he's got a few questions. I have heard that the first O after getting the procedure done is very intense. Did you experience this?
There was no more intensity than any other time I, you know, look at you porn on my phone, you know. So, no, it wasn't much different. So just
the usual Dale_A sexual intensity.
Right, exactly. Co-workers who are listening, friends, family.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Let's see. How did you choose your doctor? Because I don't want to have a procedure with that guy. It sounded like one of those free classes they have at the Home Depot.
That's true. I quietly called my insurance company from my desk at work and whispered into the phone that I was looking for a vasectomy to the insurance lady. And I tried to make a joke of it because that's all I knew how to do. And mm-hmm. She's probably heard that joke 10 times a day. And she recommended like three doctors were close to me in the area. And I just picked one at random. Hmm. There was no more research than that. I looked a few times on medical websites, but all medical websites are like Bobo, weird
garbage.
Spam stuff. Like, it's really odd. So I can't trust that. And for any sort of doctor or user reviews from doctors in my area, it would be a complete waste because people down here don't really even use the internet. So I'm screwed.
I do want to take a moment to say that this episode is sponsored by the Comic Book Shop in Delaware. So while this is your one-stop vasectomy shop, you know, they have some good comic books over there.
Yeah, check those guys out. They got a digital storefront and a new website, too. Check them out.
How much does a vasectomy cost, and does insurance pick any of it up?
That's actually a big reason why I got it. My insurance picked it up fully, so I just had to pay for the office copay, which was $30. Now, what I had to do is probably because there's a lot of deadbeat, you know, vasectomy people, wannabes mm-hmm. out there. So they needed a cash deposit of $150 up front when I scheduled the appointment. And the day I got it done, before they let me hobble fully out the door, they just stuck the rest of the money in my pocket minus the copay. Mm-hmm. So insurance pays for everything.
That's how they get you.
Yeah.
Is it possible to get the procedure done without anyone knowing, or will you definitely need someone's help after it is done and therefore need to share this beforehand?
I've heard of stories where people have gone back to work afterwards. I wouldn't recommend even driving home after the procedure is done. So if you could have a confidant, I would help you, Jamie Ann, if you needed me to. I wouldn't tell anybody.
You would come to his doctor's office with a wheelchair and just wheel him into his vehicle and drive him home.
I'd grab him shoulder to shoulder, you know, like a brother.
Right.
And just help him in the car. And then as long as you can go incognito for like 3 or 4 days afterwards, just stay home, you'll be fine.
As far as I know, I don't even think you have a job anymore. You're at home more than anyone I ever met in my life.
Yeah, well, currently. Yeah. Pink eye, fever.
Oh, my God.
I keep going back and forth with my son.
I think you answered this already, but could you work the same day if you wanted to, or are you pretty much out for the count when it's over? So you pretty much covered that.
Yeah, it was actually it wasn't that bad immediately after because you're still numb for a while afterwards. But, you know, once that starts wearing off. It was very uncomfortable. I wouldn't recommend sitting in a computer chair.
Hmm. What would the best and worst fruit mint flavors to have that area smelling like from the numbing creams?
Right. That's a big one. I mean,
what would be the best in your mind? It's a tough question.
I don't know. I mean, all I can smell is spearmint, even now, because that's what I had. So to picture anything else, it would be odd. Like maybe a fruit flavor might be nicer, mm-hmm. but the menthol-y tinge to the spearmint, you know, helps keep your nose clean.
Yeah. Would you use extra lidocaine, ice, or numbing agents than what they recommend if you had to go back and do it again?
Beforehand, no. The whatever I did, I don't think could have been. I don't think I could have done much more beforehand. Whatever needle he stuck in me, I think you're gonna feel no matter what. But after that, you're probably not going to feel anything. So, just I could probably eased up a little bit and stuck around to the base of the stem rather than like teabag the whole container with my nard bag. But I mean, because it was a lot of spearmint. I mean, I was doused.
# nard bag. Do you have any regrets about the procedure or any comments for those looking into getting one done?
I have absolutely no regrets. As far as I know, I'm sterile. It's funny because tomorrow is my first step into finding out that I am sterile. I haven't found that out yet. It's like three, oh, you have to wait 2 or 3 months after you're done and they have to collect a sample.
But do they provide youporn.com on a mobile device in the room at the place for you? Is that what they
well,
do?
Well, no, because the way it works with my insurance, now it might not be for, like, if you go to a LabCorp, they might have a porn room. I doubt it. Hmm. But I have to take my sample right to the hospital with my insurance. So I have to ram off at home and get it to the hospital within a half hour.
Whoa.
So like I should probably call 911 so they can take me in an ambulance because I was again joking with the lady when I was making the appointment for the lab. I'm like, I'm gonna have to do it in the parking lot because I'm like 25 minutes away from the hospital. So I'm gonna have to rush. I'm gonna have to like go start my Jeep, come back in the house, take my jacket off, collect and then drive.
I picture like them telling you that the ambulance will speed by at 1:15 and you just have to throw the container through their open window and hope that the passenger can catch it and then they just take it over there.
There's no slowing down. But I honestly have no regrets. I have my two beautiful children. I know that I'm not going to want any more. If for some reason we did one another, we talked and we would adopt, but we'd have to be crazy to want another one in our current mental state. But at least now I know that I'm good to go. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. I can trust me. I don't have to worry about my wife taking a pill every day or mm-hmm. sticking some pogo stick looking thing in there.
Right.
And then, like, you know, have complications afterwards. So, and I know that I'm the guy I trust more than anybody. So,
yeah. Well, you still don't even know if you're technically sterile yet.
That's true.
You could be just shooting babies everywhere and you don't even know it yet.
I could have reconnected and I'd not even know it until tomorrow. So, mm-hmm. tomorrow I drop off my first sample. And then the second week in February, I have to drop off a second and then go back to the doctor and he'll tell me whether I'm free and clear. He said he's never had anybody, have a live sample. Because basically after they sever, there's still like centimeters of tubing like up and inside your body and out your penis.
Mm-hmm.
To so there could be little sperms living in there. Until the time comes, so.
J-Man emailed back since his original email, and he had two more questions. Do you miss your swimmers? I honestly feel like never seeing them again may make me feel inadequate.
I don't miss them yet. No, okay. I do not. You won't miss them, J-Man. Once you know that you're good to go, my friend, you're going to be living life.
Final J-Man question. Did you ever look into storing a specimen in case you later changed your mind and wanted another underscore A?
I never did that, no. So I could not help you finding a cryogenic space place for that type of thing.
I wonder when the next time we're going to have another The Flap talking about your vasectomy. It might be every month, I think. Every episode, I think, will come back to your vasectomy.
I do apologize to folks looking to hear something else. We do have some of that in store for you. Uh-huh. But we definitely wanted to respect any and all feedback from the show. And if you have real questions about a vasectomy, I will be happy to answer them. And we're definitely going to record that for entertainment purposes.
How's school going?
It's started last week, and I quickly actually just dropped back out of school.
Rest in peace. Rest in peace, school.
You knew, and that's why you asked me that question. It was too much. I mean, even the week back, I took last semester off because Reed was born. Mm-hmm. So it started January 7th, and that week I was just completely overwhelmed. Like, I haven't been able to get down and do any homework that week until like 10 p.m.
Oh, God.
And I knew that wasn't going to let up. So, you know, I had a long talk with my wife about it. It's something I don't take lightly, but it's just something that I had to do. There's just a point in time in my life right now that I can't. I just can't think about school right now. I got a lot of other stuff going on. So,
like Paper Keg and your hardcover comic collection.
Right. Well, Paper
did
Keg.
Did you schedule school knowing that you had Reed, or was this before?
This semester, you mean?
Yeah, like, was it scheduled in advance? Like, I'm curious what your mindset was. Like, did you think, well, I'm just going to give it a shot, or I think I can do it, and then you got it, and you're like, I have this.
Yeah, that's the last option, because the last semester when I took off, I made the conscious decision back in June to not take any classes because I knew he was going to be born in August. This time, I just figured, well, we'd be able to work it out. I mean, the kids are in bed usually by 8:30, 9 o'clock. And I should be able to accommodate school. So November I picked classes and all that jazz. And, Judgment Day, and I had to do some hard thinking that week, because if I wanted to get, 100% refund on my classes, I had to basically say now or never. And that's why I made that decision. And it's kind of stinks, because I know it's going to be tough attempting to go back eventually, but right now I just can't do it. And it weighs heavily, because I mean, I don't have a bachelor's, and that's what I'm going for. And it's just knowing that, like, I have a great job and I love my job, and hopefully nothing ever happens to my job. But I wonder, what if I had to get back out there and look for a job, what could I get without a bachelor's degree?
Right.
Would I have to, I don't know if I could almost certainly take a same position with the same pay without a bachelor's out there in the market. I don't know. And that's why it's like a huge gamble, but mm-hmm. I just can't do it right now. And luckily my job, I have no issues with that. So I'll take it as it comes. I'd like to have considered taking one class at a time, but you have to take at least two for student loans. So,
oof. Lame. I went to Widener for a year, and then went to community college with Just Dave, former guest host of Paper Keg.
Right.
And we literally wasted the money. We took volleyball one semester, racquetball, tennis.
Were you in a
sex ed?
There's no way. This is not. This is like a sitcom. They don't even know.
We lived a sitcom without the cameras. I mean,
did you not even have like a track, like a focus of study?
I was in, I think at the time of the community college, I was in communications, which was, and I had no idea what I wanted to do. I still don't even, I think about when my son is going to go to college, and I have zero idea if he's going to want to know what he's going to want to do for the rest of his life at age, you know, 20.
Yeah,
it's tough. 18, or, you know, whenever he's going to be in college. Who knows what kind of age people are when they go into college. But, yeah. I mean, I definitely didn't know. Right. Like, I mean, at one point I thought I was going to be a teacher, and next I wanted to direct films at one point, and then I just thought, like, this isn't what I'm going to do. But,
is that why you were an English major?
Yeah.
For teaching?
Mm-hmm. Those Who Can't Do Teach. I had that book. But when we went to community college, we worked in we had the same jobs. We worked at like three straight jobs together. And then, so we would take those classes, and there were some days where we would go. I actually remember, I think we went, what year was it? When we started the Iraq War. I think that's when I was in history class. But there were some days where we would drive to school. It's like a 30-minute drive, and we would sit in the parking lot, and we're like, man, I really don't feel like going to class today. And then all it would take would just be one weak other person to just say, like, yeah, I don't either. And we would just drive home. I remember, like, distinctly, I think we bought the director's cut of X-Men 2. X2, and we just like sat in my bedroom and watched it on this mini DVD player. Some days we would sit. This was back in the day when Howard Stern was still on like 94.1. There was one episode which I can't remember if it was like a clip show, but it was the episode where they interviewed the guy that had sex with his sister allegedly, and he was wearing like a beekeeper mask.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We were so enthralled in that episode. When we drove to school the one day, that we didn't even go to school. We just stayed in the car and listened to that entire morning of Howard Stern. Oh, God, what a waste.
Oh,
and then at the end, I had gotten a job at a video game retailer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I got a raise where I had made the decision to just do that full time instead of go to college.
You were making it then.
I was making that, I think it was like $9 an hour, and I was like, whew, this is the high life right now.
Man.
And I was like, F you, school, I don't need you in my life. And then I started doing that, and then I got it was like 10 years of retail customer mm-hmm. service, and got me to where I am today.
Yeah, that's true. See, we count ourselves lucky in that instance. I mean, what route we went, we wouldn't be where we are. I went to community college immediately after high school. And the problem with community college, not the problem with school, is I just don't have any desire to do it. Like, I have the smarts to do it, but I have no focus or drive.
Yeah.
Even in high school, I just did what I needed to do to pass with C's and B's.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got to college, it was just like more the same. But now I potentially had the responsibility to do it on my own. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't have to do it because I had to go to high school. And it was just like, I got through that. And after the first year of community college, that was like with a computer science major. And that was with the intention of transferring to a 4-year school after 2 years. And, I've changed my major to just focus on an associate's degree in like networking management. And, you know, I had to take a few extra classes, and it took me like an extra year to finish school, but at least I was done after that. And I never even thought about a bachelor's because I mean, I don't even want to go to school to get a bachelor's, but
nobody wants us to go to school, period. School stinks.
I'm telling you. And then it's like, I chose to go to Drexel online, and I think that's probably a foolish move at this point. I'm 32. Do I need to have a degree from Drexel, or do I just need to have a degree? So I have a lot of thinking to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I think I had gotten laid off from a job near my hometown, so then I made the decision to do the accelerated computer courses because I was already pretty good at computers then, and I realized that I needed a career change. So I went to computertraining.com, which local people might remember, which is now since closed, and I think they ran out of money or something. But I ended up getting, you know, it was the Microsoft certified courses.
Mm-hmm.
Like in 6 months, you could jam pack and get like all your certifications to get your foot in the door.
Yeah.
And then that was what got me into IT and with a consulting firm. And there was people, by the time I was doing that, it changed my viewpoint because at that stage of my life, I had made the decision that if I wanted to start a family, I needed to have a career, and then mm-hmm. my previous job wasn't it. So I had like money riding on the deal, pretty much my future. And there were people in this course, we had to go, we had classes 2 times a week, and they were like 4 hours each time. So I would drive to King of Prussia. Actually, I think at the time I lived in King of Prussia. I would go to class, but then there would be people that like would just not show up to class. And this was like super expensive for 6 months of courses. And some people were just not showing up. It was blowing my mind.
Yeah.
Like, who's paying for this? But it reminded me of me in community college. Like, community college was way cheaper. And I was just sitting in the parking lot listening to Howard Stern rather than
right.
go to history class. But yeah, I mean, that got me my consulting job, but then it also got me here, but I'm still paying that off. And every time I look at the loan, it feels like I haven't even paid anything off of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like so minuscule. I'll be paying that off for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Same here.
Stinks.
So, yeah, it does stink. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I was talking to Mark, co-host of Paper Keg. He's in HR, and I was getting some thoughts from him about a bachelor's degree and all that junk. So
what did he say? He says do it?
Well, he said, I mean, he said do it because it's, you know, it's part of a checklist. And he thinks for like, you know, maybe for a lot of IT jobs, you might not need it. But if you want to get into management, you might need it. And it's not part of the checklist. Like, if you don't have it on your checklist, you're not even considered the type of deal.
What a slut he is.
I know. Like, you know, you're not helping me, Mark. So thanks for that.
He's probably on some kind of Caribbean cruise right now. That guy takes a vacation literally every 3 weeks. I don't even know how he has a job.
Guy's just riding in his sandals, you know, throwing his phone into the water. He doesn't care. He's not downloading even our shows for download numbers.
No, he's not. He doesn't even know where to download our show, I don't even think.
He just swoops in and leaves. So,
we made an attempt this weekend for Naked Weekend with James, our son, 2 years old.
Right. I wanted so bad to check in on the status, but I knew we were going to be talking about it.
So to recap, I guess it was a month ago, he had climbed out of his crib. Then the crib walls were useless to him. It was like wet paper in his hands, ready to be crumbled. So we took the side of that down. So now he just kind of has a bed. We took one long wall of the crib off, so it's still a crib, just missing a wall, so he can just kind of roll in and roll out whenever he pleases. So in the morning, this morning, I think he woke up at like 5 or 6, and I just heard the pitter-patter of steps and then someone climbing on the bottom of the bed and just coming into bed with us. So that's what he does now. In the morning, he wakes up and comes to sleep with us.
Wow.
For better or worse. I think I asked my wife if that was a good or bad thing, but she says she thinks it's a good thing. So we'll see. I guess it's better than the alternative.
Yeah.
Which is when he goes to bed, he sleeps with us, period.
Yeah, exactly. At least he's, you know, he's staying in his room until most of the morning, like early morning.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
So we decided to, we got this like toilet potty, you know, that sits in the middle of the room or wherever you want to put it. And the top comes open and closes. So we had tried to get him to sit on it a couple weeks ago. And he like was sitting on it with his diaper. We would bribe him with fruit snacks. And I say that phrase quietly because he's probably in his bedroom and just heard me say it. And now he's going to come running out here.
Pitter pattering.
Demanding for fruit snacks.
So
he has like a sixth sense. When I go into the kitchen and just like try to get myself a Pringle, it's like his ears perk up when I open that can and he runs in here and I have to like hide it. So we bribed him with that. He was sitting on it and he was fine. And then we told him to take his diaper off and sit on it and we would give him a snack, and that kind of went iffy. So my wife had done, you know, her internet research and found out that Naked Weekend is popular, meaning your child just is naked the entire weekend and they just go whenever they please. And, you know, that's when they're forced to use the potty, essentially, because they don't like the sensation of, you know, not having a diaper when they crap themselves.
Right.
So we all, you know, we were like, all right, let's just do it. So,
Saturday morning, right?
Well, not exactly morning because we had to go back to PA to deliver our lawnmower so that we could have it when we move out of this place. So we got home. What time was it? It was probably around noon. So we got home. She gave him a bath so that he was already naked when he came out.
Oh, brilliant.
So we rolled up the carpet, the one rug we have in the apartment, and he's just, he's like freaked out. He's just walking around with his big belly and his arched back, buck naked, running around. And so he's not sitting on the couch at all. He's just kind of walking around. And then I just hear my wife say, "Come on!" And I look around, and he turns his body, and he's got this, like, turtle head coming out of his cheeks. And on the floor next to him, there's this big juicy log sitting on the on the hardwood floor. So she's like, "Okay, let's get on the potty. And he's like fighting it. He's like as stiff as a board. So she's trying to like drape his legs on the front and then lean him on, but it's not. Right. He's like planking essentially.
He's planking the toilet.
He's planking the potty and he's just not having any of it. And he's still got this thing hanging out of his rear end. And, and then I get the fruit snacks and try to bribe him with that to get on there. He's not having it. And then that was it. We put the kibosh on it. You know, you're not supposed to like force them onto the potty if they're not feeling it. So that was, so we aborted Naked Weekend, right after that incident. And we were just like gobsmacked that his first accident was going to be this big old S.
Right. Yeah. No pee.
I didn't hear it, but my wife said it was like, a ball and a ball and an ass slapping together, the noise of it hitting the ground. Oh God, it was amazing.
Oh man,
it was
so
a big
like
one.
God, and like with hardwood floors, that's what we have too. I mean, you get like a toothpick in between the floorboards to like that's what I think about. This is stuff that we got to watch out for when we try to that too.
Yeah, it was. I think it was right over a crack in the floorboards too. So it got some extensive wipes.
Like I freak out when my cats are like hairballing. You know, it gets in between the floorboards and stuff, and I don't know how to fully. So it's always there. There's always going to be a piece of it there.
Right. It's never going to be totally clean.
I would love to try that here, but like my house is perpetually 65 degrees because the way the place is set up, luckily the thermostat is over on the kids' side of the house, and there's a door that separates their side of the house and the living room and the rest of the, and our room and the rest of the house, because if we left that door open, we tried our first winter here, and we use propane heat because we're so remote. We don't have gas and we don't use electric, so we have like a propane delivery every month and a half or so. And the first winter we spent here, to even keep the heat on 68 with the door open with the thermostat, like it was literally like $800 to $1,000 a month in heating costs.
That's what it was at our old house with oil heat. Last winter we were there in our house, that house that we were in, I shudder to think of what it would be at the size of your house. It probably would have been like $1,600 a month for us to heat that house with oil.
Yeah, it's like, So we got smart the second winter, and we shut the door in between. It's like a glass pane door, but it's probably put there because of the fact that they knew it would be a nightmare to heat this place. So over on the kid's side of the house, we keep it at 68. I can't even turn it up higher than that in fear of going broke. So in the living room and in our side of the in our bedroom and the kitchen and all that, it's like, on some mornings, it's like 64 degrees in the living room. But, so I can't have my kid running around in 64 degree. Oh, man. But it would be, oh, God. We're so lazy. Like, he hasn't even looked at the toilet. We're such lazy parents. We should be laying the groundwork. But we had a parent-teacher conference with him, you know, back in December with his teacher, his daycare provider, and she's just like, "Just try in the spring." We're like, "Okay, we're just going to try in the spring then."
She's an enabler.
She convinced us by saying that.
Yeah, I think one Christmas at that house, we ran out of oil heat. So it was like 50 degrees in the house. We were like masters of space heater positioning at that house. We had like each room had a space heater going. I mean, God forbid one of those things just like explodes, the whole house would burn down.
Yeah. With a sheet on the doorway, trap the heat in.
Yeah.
That's how we were at our old house too. I mean, because we spent most of our time like in the back like den area, but it was also the coldest room in the house. So there was like a window to the kitchen and then a doorway to the kitchen. And we sectioned all those off with sheets and just put a space heater in there. Because otherwise, luckily on the second floor, our bedroom was on the second floor in that house. So the heat rose. But it's just an effing nightmare. Like, this is the crap that you don't even think about in home ownership until you got to pay the bill for it. Then you're like, I'm borrowing money off my mom to try to make ends meet. And oh, like, nightmare.
You're going to start selling those hardcovers soon or burn them for heat.
Yeah, I don't know what would be most efficient. $30 in propane or just burn the hardcover for 30 minutes.
Burn your absolute Hellboy, your Hellboy Library Edition.
Yeah, all six of them.
That could be a month's worth of heat, I think.
One page of that with that swell manual art at 11x17.
Oh my God. Amazing.
So, yeah, that's where I don't know. So now, like, we're on a budget plan with the propane company, but it's like 300 and change every month for the whole year, just so we can afford propane in the winter.
So is it like zero? What is it like in the summertime? What's your propane bill in the summer? It's just like, where you mean average? It averages out to $300 a month for the year.
Total? Yeah, yeah. So like the budget plan. Luckily, last winter was mild. I remember talking with your wife about that on Twitter because she was happy about the same thing. So our budget for our monthly payment went down this year, but it's like $312 every for 12 months out of the year just for propane delivery, like probably 7 or 8 deliveries by the time winter's over. Like, we get our last delivery at the end of March or April, and that'll last us all summer until winter, because our stove is propane and our hot water heater is propane.
We are starting to look at houses now on the Trulia app. So that's something that we're looking at. All the heating and all that. So anything with oil is off our list, period. We're never going to find an oil house ever again.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't blame you. Are you looking in Jersey? Are you opening back up to...
We're opening back up to... She started looking in upstate New York. Like, there are cheaper houses in like Poughkeepsie, but the commute is like an hour and 40 minutes to work, which at that point we might as well just move back to Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And then there are some places she found, Westbury, New York, which I could take the Long Island Railroad and it would be like a 40-minute commute. And some of the houses are pretty nice. Some of them she's finding that are like ones that are like $70,000 and are going up at auction for some reason, or like in foreclosure.
Holy crap.
But the area seems fine. Mm-hmm. You're just not sure why these houses are like, like going up for sale at like bargain prices. We originally thought it was like some kind of Sandy related fiasco in the area where just like homes were ravaged and rather than fix up the house, the family's just like moved or something. But they could have
just been like repossessed from the bank. Maybe people can make payments and now they're trying to sell it again or something.
And we can't decide. She brought up the suggestion that maybe we still find, if we can find a cheap 2-bedroom house, is it worth staying in a 2-bedroom house if this isn't the place we're going to live forever? Like, do we sacrifice and still get a 2-bedroom, even though the idea of having more kids is definitely happening? Right. You know, what do we just have one stay in our room and then James would still get his room for most of the time? And then when the other one is like older, they can share the room. So we'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's decisions, my friend, decisions.
You know, some of us aren't snipped and have zero desire to get snipped. So we could have you know, six kids by the time we get this next house.
Absolutely. I mean, I encourage it. If that's what you want, then do it. I'm not going to be a guy that's like rolls his eyes or anything. It's just I know, you know.
I see your tweets at 3 a.m. wishing you were dead, you know, when you're getting pink eye and you don't want to stay home with your wife while you're sick, your wife and kids, and you'd rather jump in front of a train.
Man, if only there were a train near my house, I would have done it.
What did I see your tweet say that you found a pizza place other than the local entrepreneur that just makes pizzas and sells them to people?
Yeah, so Dino's in the neighborhood of Cedarville. He does everything. Like, he has a diner. It's a pizza place, but he sells everything there. It's the only game in town. So, guy's rolling in dough for us fat, lazy people out here. But the town over, right? Get this. The town over is Bridgeton, and on their website, I just happened randomly checked because I saw a Papa John's car kind of out my way. It wasn't near on my street or anything. So I went to papajohns.com, and I saw, and I put in my address on their website, and they said I was in delivery range for this Papa John's.
My God.
So I was like, this is amazing. Like, so I wanted to check others too. There's a Domino's that's like a half a mile closer than the Papa John's. The Domino's doesn't come up on the website. It says we're out of delivery range. So I'm like super skeptical because obviously I would place the order online. I would hate to call Papa John's. I don't like to call anybody. So I'm fearful of the fact that when I place the Papa John's order, they call me immediately and say, we're not coming out there. That's insane. We would never come out there. It's like 7.5 miles away or something.
They're never going to find your house too. They're just going to like drive around in circles twice and throw the pizza out the window and then just say that they delivered it.
That's exactly what they're going to do too. That is exactly what they would do.
I love Papa John's and Domino's pizza. I'll tell you what.
But I'm telling you, I haven't had Papa John's in so long that I just want to order like two orders of those garlic dipping sticks and pizza and everything. I just want to get it all delivered. I can't wait.
You might reverse your vasectomy just as you bite into that pizza and garlic sticks, I think.
The drawbridge will close once I dip, bite. My vasules of love will find themselves.